Heavenly Father, Lord, you are enthroned on, by the way, none of this counts against my time, all right? This is not going to be, oh, Lord, it was a 45 minutes. No, no. Heavenly Father, you are enthroned on high even when we have technical difficulties. So, Lord, we just thank you that you are still a good God, and we love you, and we are thrilled to be here. And, Lord, we are grateful for a talented team of people who can work this stuff out. So, Lord, we thank you. And, Lord, now that all that is behind us, we set our hearts to hear what you prepared for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so, literally picking up where we left off last week, Jesus has just fed 5,000 people. And then, having really gotten to the point where he wants to do what he had wanted to do last week, which was go be by himself. If you remember from last week, he had just gotten news that John the Baptist had died, and he had wanted to go be by himself. He wanted to go grieve, to mourn, to process, to handle this stuff on his own. And he went to be by himself to a lonely place, and 5,000 men brought their women and children with him and wanted to hear him talk. Not the best way to go be by yourself and process and deal with the loss of a friend. So, finally, he heals these people sick, he casts out demons, he feeds 5,000 people, 5,000 men, not to mention the women and children who are there with him. And finally, having done all that, he looks at the disciples and he says, "You guys, get in the boat and go ahead of me. I'll dismiss the people. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord." And it took him a long time because they'd never done that before, and he had to teach him over and over again. So, there was a lot of people, 5,000 men, not to mention the women and children. It took a lot of times practicing. Then he had to say, now if it was Easter, we'll have to say the Alleluia. Never mind, I'll get to that in a couple years. Never mind. We're not even going to talk about Lent. Forget about it. Anyway, he dismissed the people and they left. And rather than immediately following the disciples, he went up on the mountain. And he got his time by himself. Now, there could be a lesson in and of itself right there. There's times when you need to get rid of everybody else and just sit by yourself and process things. And pray and be with God and go up on the mountain and not have one of those glorious, transfiguring mountaintop experiences, but just be by yourself and process things. Just have some quiet time. And he did that. Now you got to figure, it was in the evening, it was dinner time, but by the time he met up with the apostles, it says it was the fourth watch. Now this was, by their reckoning, sometime between 3 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the morning. It was really late at night. Up to maybe, 12 hours had passed. He had spent all night in prayer. He decided, you know what, it's time to go be with my people. Time to go be with the apostles. So he got up and he walked across the waters. Keeping in mind that the apostles had been trying to get across the water that whole time. But they hadn't been able to because the version that we read today said the winds were against them. Now, the version that I'd been reading said the winds were contrary. I like that. The winds were contrary. Yes, they were just being persnickety. Those persnickety winds just being contrary. In any case, maybe 10, 12 hours, the apostles had been taking turns, trying to get across the waters, just fighting against this, and making so little progress. Anybody ever feel like that? They know where they're heading, they know what they're supposed to do to get there. I mean, it's a boat, they got oars, They got people. They got a direction. How complicated could it be? It's just back and forth, right? How complicated could it be? You just get in the boat, you paddle. They know where they're heading. They got lots of people to substitute in. It's not like they had one guy that was just going all night long. But they just weren't getting there. It's like an exercise in futility for hours. Anybody relate? Okay. So in the wee hours of the morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, somebody's walking on the water. Now, we've heard this. This is another one of those flannel graph things that we don't remember the first time we heard it because some saintly old lady put it up on a flannel board when we were in nursery school. And this is such a common image that it works itself into rock and roll songs in completely secular contexts. So we don't even think about how absolutely, completely bizarre this had to be. This was not okay. They're out in the middle of a storm with gale force winds that have kept them from going a very short distance in a very long time, and some dude comes walking up. And they don't know who it is because it's a stormy, windy night in the middle of the night, and somebody goes, "Is that a person walking on the water?" And they say something that makes perfect sense. It's got to be a demon. It's got to be a ghost. We're about to get like torn apart. We're about to be destroyed. And Jesus, knowing this, says, "Don't worry, guys. Be at peace. It's I. Don't worry. It's okay. I'm here." Which is something we all want to hear Jesus say. We know he says it, but we'd really love to hear it in our hearts. Because when everything is going on, we really want to hear him say it. We know he says it, but we need to hear it. Because in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of all the chaos, what we know and what we actually hear are different things. Because when we hear him say it, it brings peace. But we don't always hear it. Now here's the part that you probably, although you've heard this story for God knows how long, you probably didn't realize or didn't recognize. So Peter gets out of the boat and walks to Jesus. But Peter, walking on the water, wasn't Jesus's idea. Jesus didn't say, "Peter, you, get over here. Come to me." Let's look at that. Because it wasn't Jesus' idea. Jesus spoke to them saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So Jesus said to him, "Come." Jesus was just walking to the boat. Pretty miraculous in and of itself. And the disciples hear this. And Peter, says, "Lord, if it's you, call me out of this boat and bid me come to you." wasn't Jesus' idea. Jesus would have been okay with just getting in the boat, getting into the shore, and having everybody go, wow, this is amazing. Truly you are the Son of God. Which, by the way, in Mark and John's version of the story, that's what happens. Only Matthew records Peter getting out of the boat and walking. But in Matthew's version, Peter says, Lord, if it's you, call me out of this boat. Bid me walk on this water and come to you. And Jesus says, okay, come on. And Peter says, all right. And he steps out of the boat, and there have been cinematic versions of this story that are mangled horribly. Okay? I've seen versions where Peter gets like two steps and is like and goes right down, and he is like 20,000 leagues under the sea when Jesus like uses his telepathy and shoots him back up and is like, why did you doubt and half drowned? Right? It says that Peter walked out to him. And then it says that he looked around and saw the winds and the wave, and he started to doubt and he sank. And it says immediately Jesus reached out for him. Now, either Jesus has like Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, stretchy arms, or Peter got really close to Jesus. Because Jesus didn't have to go very far to immediately reach Peter. Peter got there. Got that close. Peter was immediately reached by Jesus. But he did. He looked out and he saw the winds and the waves, and he thought, oh my. And he sank. And Jesus grabbed him. Oh, man of little faith, why did you doubt? You were already way out of the boat and walking. You were walking on water, man. Why did you give up? You just water, walking, just like me. Sink. What happened? I kind of realized I was walking on water, and that's something that wasn't supposed to happen. And, you know, common sense kind of took over. I don't know. Maybe. But Jesus goes with him back in the boat. They get back to the shore, and everybody says, truly, this man is the Son of God. Nobody else got out of the boat. Everybody worshiped Jesus, but nobody else stepped out of the boat. Jesus didn't say, James, John, Andrew, Thomas, come on, you guys too. Judas stayed there, never mind. Bad idea. He didn't say to any of the others, come on. Peter said, call me and bid me come to you. And Jesus said, okay. And this is a lesson to us. We can stay in the boat and we can worship the Lord. And that's okay. Or we can say, Lord, I want to walk closer with you. I want to do more. I want to step out of the boat. I want to go deeper. I want to go crazier. I want to do stuff that is off the wall. I want to work miracles. I want to do raise the dead. I want to heal the sick. I want to cast out demons. I want to feed thousands. I want to work miracles. And this boat is great. And I can worship you in the boat. And I can love you in the boat. And the boat is storm-tossed, but you're with me in the boat, and I'm safe in the boat. But I don't get to walk on water in the boat. And you'll let me stay in the boat. But to get out of the boat, I have to ask you to call me out. I have to say, Lord, bid me come to you. And your response is going to be, okay, come on. Get out of the boat. And if you do that, if you say, Lord, call me out of this boat. Call me out of this nice, safe place that I'm in. He will do that. And you will go out into a place that's more storm-tossed, more dangerous, where the winds are more contrary, where the waves are higher and deeper, and it's darker, and you can't see, and your faith will be more questioned than ever before. And you may think, no, you will probably, no, you will absolutely sink. And that's okay. Because even in the depths of the ocean, Jesus is there. Look at the Old Testament. From the belly of the whale, Jonah cried out. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried to you, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Your waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. You have brought my life up from the pit, O Lord. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayers went up to you into your holy temple. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is from the Lord. In the belly of the whale, Jonah cried out, and the Lord heard him. If you're out of the boat and you sink, the Lord is still there. And when you cry out to him, he will rescue you. And he will take you back and put you where you need to be. You know, the story of Jonah, when that giant fish or whale swallowed him, he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. And when that fish spit him out, it spit him out right near where he needed to be. He was running away, trying to get as far away from Nineveh as possible. And when he was vomited up by that fish, he was right there. Like, really? I was trying to run away from this, and here I am? Lovely. Smelling like fish guts. We're all being called out. That's what the church is. In Greek, the church is the ekklesia. Ek kalesia. Out, called of. We are called out We are called out of the world, and now we are being called out of our comfort zones. And I can't tell you how you're being called out, but the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is telling you now, this is how you're being called out. I am speaking to your heart and telling you that this is how you're being called out. You're being called to step out of the boat and act in faith this way. And right now, you're saying, in the words of St. Peter, Lord, if it's you, which is exactly what he said, bid me come to you. And he is. It is the Lord. And he's saying, come. And he will call you, and you will do more than you can ever ask or imagine. Because that's how he moves. And you will falter, and you will fail. But that's okay, because he's never going to leave you or forsake you. We're all called to move further. So search your hearts. Find out what you're called to do, because we're called to do more. We're called to step out. We're called to walk on water. I don't know whether it's literally. Maybe it is. He said, all that I've done and more you will do. Maybe you are called to walk on water. Maybe you're called to heal the sick. Maybe you're called to feed thousands. Maybe you're called to preach to the people in your office. Maybe you're called to bring people to church. Maybe you're called to preach, to teach. I don't know. But I would imagine that your heart knows and you've heard it. And right now that voice in your heart is going, is it you, Lord? And you know what you should be saying. If it's you, Lord, bid me come to you. And the response from Jesus is always, come. In the name of the Father, and